Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, it's time for a very special episode of the N4G Radio Podcast. This week, we have a very special guest. We got to give a big shout out to Shanghai 6 from Front Towards Gamer.
How the hell do I follow that up? Very special guest? Good lord.
That's right, man.
I am honored
to
be here.
It was awesome. You guys had a big 24-hour gamer night last night. A lot of people showed up. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, y'all were there, too. I was surprised. It was, man, we had a full ZGD call out there.
I won't hold that against you, considering you haven't had any sleep.
Yeah, I'm having a tough... I passed out this morning about 5 o'clock and woke up at 8 and don't know where the time went.
Oh, good lord. I can't remember the last time I pulled a 24. That would just be rough.
It was so funny. I was so excited. I was like, yeah, we're doing 24. I got an excuse to tell the wife I'm going to be playing games all night. Woo! And by about 1 o'clock, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. My eyeballs hurt. You know, I was just like... We did a podcast, and I haven't listened to it yet. Oh, God, I'll be lucky if I spoke English through it. It was just a gaggle cast with, like, a bunch of dudes that were playing Call of Duty. It'd be interesting.
All right, but also with us, we have, as always, Mr. Gamus Khan.
Greetings, programs.
That's right. And also with us, we have Frustrated Fury. Drew Leachman's with us.
Hello.
We have the Wombat Round Wombo, the voice of, what was that, God?
Yes!
Good lord almighty.
It's not quite as loud now because I've turned it down.
You've toned it back.
I pulled it back a little bit.
All right, and also with us we have Mr. W.
Hello.
Mr. W got owned.
Oh, Mr. W doesn't give a shit.
John, did you know that in Crysis they have an achievement, or not an achievement, but a dog tag you can unlock if you're playing after 11:59 and you end up at the bottom of the leaderboard more than 3 times in a row? It's called Drunken Disorderly. You might want to look into that.
That's right. I already got it last night.
Did you? Yeah, I was thinking. I was like, I wonder if he got it, but
yeah, I earned it in ranked matches late last night, and I was like, wow, I'm terrible. Oh, but anyway, let's get this party started with Mr. Gamus Khan and his fondling.
Well, this past week has been pretty much an all portable, all three dimensional week, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Why don't you explain it?
Does it mean you have used both your eyes to play your video games instead of winking at your machine?
Camera one, camera two.
Camera one, camera two. Now, I've been playing 3DS this past week. As a matter of fact,
the hell is that noise?
I told you, it's Cole McGrath in the background.
It sounds like he's shaving something.
There he is.
There it is.
He's sprucing up. He's getting a Brazilian.
But yeah, over the past couple weeks, I came into some money, so I splurged
a
little.
You have a relative die or something?
That means his wife let him... go out with a little bit of allowance.
That'll change.
Yeah. Well, I actually bought two 3DSs.
What?
two.
One for me and one for her.
Oh, I thought you were just going to send your friend code back and forth to yourself or something. Ooh, Street Pass. Woohoo!
He wanted 60. That's what it was. 3D isn't enough for Gambus. He wants 60.
He's got one for each eye.
Yeah, pretty much. She didn't. She had no idea. I was like, honey, I got a surprise for you. And she was like, I'm scared. I'm scared. And I'm like, you got an important decision to make. And she was like, oh, what is it? And I told her to close her eyes, and she was like, I'm getting nervous. And then I was like, yeah.
I'd be nervous if Gambus told me to close my eyes.
I got a surprise for you.
Get down on your knees, honey. Well, it'll be fun. No, this is good.
But then I was like, the decision is laid before you. Open your eyes. And she opened her eyes. And she was like, ah!
We're still not getting off the sexual metaphor here. It's so big.
Yep. I was like, the decision is yours, black or
wow.
Black or blue.
She probably said, I'm going to beat you black and blue because I don't see a ring or a necklace or anything.
But, yeah, we both have 3DSs. Also picked up Super Street Fighter 4 3D, which I played a little bit of it. Not as much as I wanted to, but played a little bit of that. Played some Ridge Racer. That's a fun game.
Ridge Racer! Sorry. I didn't do that.
Ridge Racer!
I was waiting for Gambus to do it.
But, and also, I did a review for Super Monkey Ball 3D this past few days. And, that was a pretty. All right, game. I guess I wouldn't say it's definitely not worth the price.
Yeah, that was a pretty all right game.
Yeah,
that seems to be a growing trend of 3DS right now.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. But the last game I've been playing on the 3DS was Steel Diver, I think it's freaking awesome. You control a submarine, and
is it yellow?
Actually, there is one that looks like it could be.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's red, and it came from October.
Yep.
This is a game in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Firing on all cylinders today, boys.
I feel good.
But, yeah, the gameplay in Steel Diver is essentially you go through these missions. You have to go from point A to point B, and on your way there, you fight other ships and subs. And what's really cool about the way you control the sub is you're not actually controlling it with like the D-pad or the analog disc. You actually control the sub using touchscreen levers. One lever is ascending and descending, and the other lever is for acceleration and reverse. And it's really cool the way that it almost has a an analog feel to the gameplay, almost like you're. It's almost like a simulator.
Almost
right?
Like you were controlling it with an analog stick.
Almost, but not quite.
Well, damn.
Yeah. And then you also use the touchscreen to fire missiles. You have, depending on what kind of sub you have,
I usually have turkey on wheat.
I was waiting for it. You know what? I said, you know what? I said, we got a funny enough group of guys in here that nobody's going to make the sub sandwich joke. I was wrong.
You've been on this show for 5 years, Wombat, and you are surprised that we
and that's why the ID that's why the ID popped in my head in the first place.
Come on now.
Ridiculous.
There's already been a Ronnie James Dio joke, and now a sandwich joke.
Yeah. It's all
personally,
right.
I'm a fan of the Philly steak and cheese.
And it keeps going with the phone.
That's what's on now. Welcome to the show, Shanghai. This is the way it works every week.
Yep.
Oh, I know. I'm quite familiar. I actually just tweeted about it. I just said it's very surreal listening to Gambus Khan ramble in real time.
Yeah. The only problem is you can't fast forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never fast forward. I actually listen to all of it because usually it's pretty good.
And
Except when he gets about on, oh, hey, I played a little Dragon Warrior 9 this week. So, go ahead and skip on past this section. I think I know where it's at.
I think we all know Dragon Quest 9 by now. Yeah. Oh, God.
Is it Dragon Quest or Dragon Warrior 9? Dragon Quest 9.
Dragon Warrior's the name of it in Japan.
No, other way around. Dragon Quest is always what it was called in Japan. It was called Dragon Warrior here, but they stopped naming it that.
Wow, that's cool. Yep. Learned a little something there.
They stopped changing the name when it came over here.
Dude, you're on this podcast and you write for the site. Shut up.
And you're English. I don't know what that has to do anything, but I'm putting it out there.
But yeah, Steel Diver.
Sorry to take you off track there.
Now you see why how it happens.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
You've lived it.
But certain subs... you can fire missiles or torpedoes that travel horizontally, but other subs, you also have the option to shoot vertical for enemies above you as well. It's a really, really cool game. And when your sub receives damage, you'll get leaks, like water leaks, and you'll actually see the leak in the bottom screen, and it will be like at a random point in the touch screen menu.
Do you have to like touch it to plug the leak?
Yeah, you have to like scribble over that particular area in order to plug the leak.
You know,
exactly.
That's how they do it in the Navy.
Yeah, it is how they do it in the Navy. Just scribble on it.
But yeah,
with a stylus.
It just has a really cool gameplay. The gameplay is really awesome. I've read reviews about the game that it's like really short, and it seems to be a pretty short game. That seems to be like the main complaint. Probably the second main complaint is that the controls have a little bit of a lag, but you know, it almost feels like you're controlling a very heavy submarine in water. I mean, if you go into reverse and you're traveling at full speed ahead, you're not going to be going in reverse the very next second, you know? So, to me, it felt really good, the controls. I mean, they almost felt like how I would imagine a submarine would probably feel if you were trying to accelerate and then come to a stop. You know, you just can't stop on a dime with traveling at such a high speed with a big, giant submarine.
But, also, because there are no dimes in the ocean.
Yes, unless they were floating or falling. I mean, you could probably try to stomp on that one, but that would be tough to do.
Probably.
Yes. But, as of the system itself, I think it's the coolest handheld system ever made, hands down. I've been taking this with me every time I leave the house. Me and my wife go walking all the time. Recently we started doing a lot of walking and hiking, and you know we take the system with us to do the pedometer thing where it actually counts the steps that you take. when you have the system closed. Another cool thing about the system that I really like is the street pass mode, where if you have the system on and you close it, if you come within 60 feet of another system that's also in street pass mode, you can obtain their Mii character. And the Mii characters can actually participate in mini games that are also in the system. As a matter of fact, a couple days ago, me and the wife went to the concert of Play Video Game Symphony, where it's orchestra doing video game music. And I actually obtained a friend code from someone who was a couple rows ahead of us, who was also playing his 3DS. And I was like, hey, could I have your friend code? I was like, I played the part of the creepy, nerdy guy who tries to get in everybody's business, be like, I work for a podcast and a website. Can I get your impression of the 3DS? You know, I did that spiel. And when I was at the concert, I obtained two Miis through the Street Pass mode. So that was pretty cool. To tell you the truth, a lot of people were like, you know, the 3D causes eye strain, you know, stuff like that. And I know that it's different for everybody. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't give me headaches or eye strain or anything like that at all. However, it's like when I'm usually playing a game, a lot of times when I'm into the game, I forget that it's in 3D. So sometimes I'll just turn the 3D off altogether with. And I think in the long run, the 3DS will be more known for its social network aspects more than the actual 3D itself. I think the 3D is just to basically for Nintendo to get their foot through the door for you know, the whole consumer, because 3D is such a big buzzword for the past couple years. But I truly think that this system, I mean, I have like I have 9 friend codes on my 3DS, and at any time, it's been happening a lot lately, I'll see someone come online, the system will actually have an orange blinking light telling me that someone just came online. I'll go to my friends list, I'll see a person who's online at this very moment, and I'll actually see what game that they're playing.
Holy crap, that's never happened on anything ever.
For Nintendo? Yeah, that's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean...
It's leaps and bounds above what they got right now, networking-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it blows away the multiplayer networking aspects of the Wii.
Dude, the iPhone blows away the networking aspects of the Wii.
But, I mean, because the system... you know, is so powerful and it's able to receive updates. I mean, heck, just a couple updates from now, I mean, it might be up to PSN standards.
Now, come on.
Maybe 3 or 4 updates. But yeah, I mean, I can easily see the 3DS a couple years down the road where you're like half the time you're playing it is with someone online. And if they add voice chat, it'll be done.
It'll be over.
It'll be done. It'll be done. The 3DS will outsell the DS.
Of course.
Eventually.
Yeah, it'll happen anyway.
It'll happen.
It's a Nintendo handheld. It just prints money.
But, I mean, I really see this system being the bomb.
The bomb.
Like more than any other portable gaming system, literally. I mean, I think there's going to be tournaments that I'll probably be using it.
Interesting. So, you got anything else going on?
No, that's about it. Actually, to tell you the truth.
All right, what's going on this week?
This week, probably more Dragon Quest IX.
Womp womp.
And maybe maybe I'll review a game or so.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
All right, so I'll move on to Drew. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Let's see. I played a crap ton, actually.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. let's see. What should I start with? Well, before I started the review stuff, I was still continuing playing Dragon Age 2. I believe I'm on side quest number 422?
Nice.
23, maybe? Somewhere around in there, because that's all it is. But, you know, I enjoy it, but it's not as epic. That's the only way I can put it. I also played... Wow, there's so much stuff I played. Chime, for review, actually. Chime Super Deluxe Edition on the PS3. I love Chime. I love puzzle games. And Chime is just fantastic. It's like Lumines, except you're not... Well, it's a lot like Lumines, except it's a little different. It's hard to explain. You make blocks, and you cover an entire board from one color to the other, and while that is happening, there's music playing. I really like the music in it. Super Deluxe Edition has five new tracks that you can do and five new boards, as well as they added local multiplayer. The local multiplayer is where the fun is. It's really, really fun. Like, they have co-op, but the real fun part is the versus. You can have up to four people. Everybody's trying to fill the board with their own color. And what ends up happening is everybody starts trying to steal everybody else's combos. And it turns out to be like, if you ever played Super Mario Brothers Wii, how you get pissed off at your friends that are sitting next to you. That's kind of like how it works with that game. But it actually is really fun. And like one of my roommates who was playing with me, he was like, he didn't want to play the game. And we started playing versus mode. He was like, this game is pretty awesome. So I definitely suggest Chime to anybody. From what I understand, the PC and 360 will be getting the Super Deluxe version sometime. I don't know when it's going to be, though. Maybe later on, like, you know, a few months down the road. But, yeah, it's definitely worth $10. I started up Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. I've been working the night shift for a few days now. And, night shift is boring. So I bring my PSP with me.
PSP.
Yes. And I started playing Crisis Core. I finished up Birth by Sleep, which I think I talked about last week. But, yeah, Crisis Core is pretty good. It's like a hybrid between a Kingdom Hearts game and a actual Final Fantasy game. In fact, I'll tell you what it plays a lot like. It plays a lot like Dragon Age. Where you choose, like the first Dragon Age, where you know you basically you choose what your character to do, and they kind of go do it themselves. So it's a little more of a passive game, but you can move around, and you can, like, you know, you get critical hits if you hit guys in the back and stuff like that. granted, you kind of have to know a little bit about Final Fantasy VII to enjoy it. It's supposed to be a prequel to Final Fantasy VII, where you play as Zack, who is Well, he's dead in Final Fantasy VII.
Spoiler.
Okay. So is Aeris.
What?
Spoiler.
You bastard.
Oh, no. But, yeah. You play as him. You play as the dead guy. Well, he's not dead in that. But, yeah, it's not bad. It suffers from classic RPG where... If you die, you have to reload your last save, which could possibly be an hour ago. Yeah, I kind of turned it off while I was on patrols, was walking around playing it, and I died, and I was like, load from last save, bullshit, load from last save, I'm turning you off and not playing you for the rest of the night. So, that was fun. 2 days ago, though, I finally took the plunge, and I picked up Pokemon Black Version.
Pokemon?
That's right. Sorry. I've been playing some... I've been playing some Pokemon.
It's so knee-jerk reaction. I listened to you guys so long, I can't help it.
I was waiting on Ken to do it, but... but yeah, it's, you know, the funny thing is, now I haven't played Pokemon from the beginning. Like, I played, the first game I played was Pearl, which was the first DS game. And, I got a good feel for it, and I've played two Pokemon games since before Black. And Black, they have changed so much about the game. Like, there's an actual story in Black and White. And, like, I'm not going to say it's great, I mean, but it's there, and it keeps you progressing, kind of. Instead of, like, you know, they just let you go at the very beginning of the game and say, go beat the gym leaders, and then go beat the Elite Four, and you win. And then this one, they actually have you doing things, and, you know, like, there's bad guys who constantly want to, like, steal stuff, and you got to go stop them, and then...
Man, that's so original. Yeah, please keep telling me about it.
You're negative Nancy today.
I know. Well, I mean, you may enjoy your original stuff, but, you know, it's not going to stop two worlds from being bad.
Nope.
Oh, snap.
But, yeah.
I'm not talking about your 8-year-old game anymore. Please.
My 8-year-old game?
Yeah. Meaning that it's a game for 8-year-olds, not
for okay, okay.
Yeah, Wombat, you'd be more on the 8-year-old game as in 8 years old.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to be dead honest with you, and Quality Beats wrote a little article about it. I do not see how a quote-unquote 8-year-old could play that game and understand it fully. Because that is a very complex RPG.
You'd be amazed what an 8-year-old can understand in this day and age.
Okay, well, at 8 years old, I was understanding the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Well, that was us. This generation has access to all kinds of stuff.
That's true. I didn't know what the internet was when I was 8.
That's because Al Gore hadn't invented it yet.
I know.
I played RPGs at 8 years old.
Like what?
A Dragon Warrior?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, that was before I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that far-fetched to think that an 8-year-old could handle a complex RPG about catching little monsters in balls and throwing them at things.
Hey, they're pocket monsters.
They are pocket monsters.
My kid's 9 months old, he already knows how to throw stuff.
Awesome. Get him a DS and let him throw the DS around.
There you go.
But I don't know. I'm enjoying the game. I mean, it's fun, you know. I my local game store, you know, they have tournaments and stuff like that. They have Pokemon tournaments. How the hell is that any different from freaking?
But even Gambus Khan is laughing. That's the funny part.
Gambus Khan is laughing. Was if I was talking about the same exact thing, I'd be getting so much crap right now.
Well, but you don't say it in a southern accent, so it doesn't really, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I kind of get entranced by his vocals.
Well, thank you very much.
Let me ask you, did you hold this Pokemon tournament in the back of a windowless van?
Oh.
That's how they get you.
Log on to a pedometer.
That's kind of disappointing that I can't use my pedometer for track, so I can train a Pokemon while I'm walking around doing my patrols.
Yeah,
but
patrolling for pedo.
Okay, so yeah, Pokemon's great. I'm gonna stop talking about it. I'm also playing for review Need for Speed Shift 2, Unleashed on the PS3. You know, I enjoyed Shift 1. A lot of people didn't. I liked what they did with the whole drivers viewpoint of view kind of thing, and I thought that was really, really interesting, really neat. And they've improved it, actually, to be, quote-unquote, more realistic. As in, now, like, when you get ready to take a turn, the camera actually turns, like the driver's leaning into the turn, and that can seriously throw me off sometimes. It's for the first time, I've been using the out-of-the-car camera, but I still go back to the driver's camera every once in a while. I have said it a million times, and I will continue to say it until they stop. I want them to keep drifting out of my fucking racing games. I cannot stand it. Shift 1 sucked at drifting. Shift 2 is no exception. They have improved it a little bit, but not by much.
What's the problem with it?
The problem with it is, all right, I can understand a drift car is going to be totally geared differently than an actual race car. But it's constantly trying to stay in the line, constantly trying to start a drift and then hold it. And the whole time this is going on, your car feels like it's on ice. The car controls absolutely different from whenever you're racing. And you're so used to racing, like, you don't really start drifting until about 4 hours into the game. You know, depending on how I played it, because I was constantly like, you know, I would win a race and it says, hey, you can go to rank B races. I'm like, well, let me finish the rank C races first kind of thing. So, but yeah, I mean, like, I'm so used to how a car handles while driving in, like, in a race, that when I go to the drifting, and if you just give it gas, you do a burnout instead of just, you know, go. And, you know, every time you take a curve, you do a 360 because you're turning too hard. I just, it is so frustrating because it took me 30 minutes to do the drift tutorial because you had to get a certain amount of points. And, like, I finally got the points and the guy was like, man, you seem to know a lot about drift. And I'm like, no, I don't. It was just like I was accumulating points over the 30 minutes of me just, like, screwing around. And like, and then there's so many races or so many events for drifting. There's like, because I hate to say it, but they it seems like they focused a lot more on drifting in this game than they did in Shift 1. There's like 10 or 15 different events for just drifting, you know. And then like there's this guy who like narrates and tells you, hey, good job, and stuff like that. And it's like, hey, let's go to Japan. I'm like, hey, let's not, because I don't want to go drifting.
But they got Pokemon.
They do have Pokemon. I would rather play Pokemon in Shift 2 than Drift.
How about Pokemon Drift?
There you
Pokemon
go.
Drift. That's the sequel to Fast 5, I believe.
Oh. It is indeed. With Fast starring Fast. The Rock and Vin Diesel as yes. Pikachu and whatever the hell the other one's name is.
I would watch that.
I would too. That sounds awesome. But don't get me wrong. Shift 2 is great. Looks fantastic. It plays good whenever you're racing. It's just they have so many mechanics that throw you off that they say is an improvement that, you know, it may be an improvement to somebody. These guys, there's some players out there who freaking love the drifting. That's all they want to do. But for me personally, I cannot stand it. And, like, I want to play a racing game. I don't want to play a game where you have to be stylish going around curves. But, I mean, it's still good. I mean, it you know, as far as the racing goes, and the online is actually really good. I wouldn't say bare bones, but it's, you know, you can do quick race or you can do like, well, I want to race with a B car, you know, instead of a C car, or, you know, you can choose what class of car you want to race in. But yeah, I mean, it's Shift 1 with some improvements, but also some downfalls. That's about as far as I can tell you about it. I'll have a full review hopefully sometime tomorrow or today, whenever you post this. Let's see. I played some Killzone 3 with Mr. Shanghai 6 over there.
Well,
I stuck at that game, but damn, do I not love it, because that game is actually really good.
That was a goddamn good time yesterday. Jesus. It was just like, do you want to go play something? No. No, I want to keep playing this.
Yeah. It was actually really fun. And that was the first time I actually played the
operations mode.
The operations, yeah, where they have the cutscenes and everything like that. I was so used to just playing, like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like where they constantly switch. Okay, search and destroy. Okay, team kills and stuff like that. So, but it was actually really fun. I like playing the medic. I don't know why. I just like, because I get more points that way, because I'm not the best person to get kills. So the best way I get points is just by healing people.
I'm right there with you, Drew. I'm somebody who loves, you know, operations or capture the flag or any of that, because, like, I'm not as good as a shooter, so I love playing the infiltrator because it gives me like a half a second before people realize I'm on the other team and I can shoot them in the face, or
yeah.
I've got an objective I can just go sit in and get points for. So, like, when we were playing Crysis 2 yesterday, there's no like match bonus, so if you're not killing people, you get no points. Very frustrating. So I know where you're coming from. I usually am a medic as well, or, you know, somebody like Battlefield Bad Company. That was my thing, man.
But yeah, I definitely want to jump back into some more Killzone. That game is really good. I keep forgetting to go back to that. I'm trying to imagine there was a PC game that I get to talk about now. Apparently, because I'm from the South, Ken thinks that I like hunting.
Oh, wow. What do you got?
I got The Hunter. It's a free-to-play hunting game, apparently based on the Far Cry, not Far Cry 2. Just Cause 2. It reminds me of Far Cry 2, because you're walking around with a GPS in your hand. It's a first-person shooter. Where you have to track animals, shoot them, and then go track their asses down to find their dead bodies. Now, that's what you do in hunting. I realize that. But if I wanted to do that, I'd go out and go hunting. Because this game... Okay, did anybody ever play Far Cry 2?
Unfortunately.
I just bought it for $14, actually.
You should get your money back. But
I freaking like. I actually enjoying that game. I don't know
How far are you in?
About halfway.
You're about halfway. So have you? Okay. Well, that's where I start getting pissed off with the game. So I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. But
some idea. I played it halfway through on the PS3, and I stopped playing it because I just was getting pissed off at it. So I was like, all right. Well, now that I'm playing all achievements this year, I'm going to try it on 360, and I'm like, I'm having a good time. So, we'll see. I know what you're saying. It is a frustrating... Those goddamn respawning checkpoints.
That and freaking... Dude, where's my car? Because I'm not walking all the way back to camp. And there is no car in The Hunter. You have to walk everywhere.
Oof.
And see, you'd think, like... Here's what I thought. Ken sent me an email saying, hey, you know what? I got this hunting game. It's based on the Just Cause 2 engine. So, the first thing I thought of was Rico jumping out of an exploding helicopter with dual Uzis shooting deer. That's not what this game is at all. In fact, I kind of wish I could call on a helicopter to let me, you know, find my deer for me. But I can't do that. So, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm giving it crap. It's like hunting. And if you ask anybody out there, hunting is kind of boring. Because it's, you know... You're not in a battlefield. The deer are not attacking you, and
they're coming
just...
right for us.
Yeah,
it's coming right for us.
But it's a very strange way it works. You load it up through the browser itself, through the website, but you download the client for it. So. It's kind of cool how they track pretty much everything. So every time you play, it tells you when you played, how long you played, what you shot, what you didn't find. I've shot so many deer in this game and can't find their bodies. And like, there's always a guy saying that is unethical. You need to find the body. I'm like, well, you find the fucking body. The thing ran off. I'm not going into the woods to find it. So, you know, I mean, you can track them. You know, you have your cool little GPS. It's not just a GPS. Apparently, it can read feces as well as tracks.
Fun.
And blood as well. So
take that, Kindle.
That's right. So I'm reading Harry Potter while tracking feces. There's an elk going over there to the left. But, so, yeah, I mean, I'm writing a review of it. Should be live soon. I just, it looks nice. I'll put it that way. I mean, it totally does have the cool, you know, the you can see far away stuff. Like in Far Cry. Just Cause 2. But it's hunting. That's all I'll say. Wow. Trying to think what else. That's about it, I think. I got for review Sims Medieval. I haven't put that in yet.
I'm actually interested to hear how that is. I haven't heard a damn thing about it.
I will let you know next week.
All right.
Because that's when I will be starting it next week. I guess future fondling as well. I will continue to play some more Dragon Age 2. I'm gonna make a conscious decision to sit down and play some more Killzone 3 multiplayer. I really do want to play that. I forgot. Oh, I gotta tell you guys. I played some Super Street Fighter 4 yesterday. I played with a personal friend of the podcast. His name is Fido Dido. Fido died with triplets. And the dude can dominate anybody with Blanca. I have never seen a guy play that good with Blanca. And he wanted me to tell you guys that he challenges every single one of you guys to Super Street Fighter 4.
Dude, that's not really a challenge.
Well, I think he just wants to kick everybody's ass so he could just say, hey, I kicked everybody's ass. It's on the N4G podcast.
Dude, everybody who's ever played online with us can say that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I can actually back that up.
See?
Yeah.
Listeners, they talk about how they're not very good at video games. They back that up with their gameplay. although that was first person shooters. I mean, I don't know how y'all do. I imagine you whoop some ass and you're going to be killing some people in Mortal Kombat and some Marvel Baby and all that. But
yeah, I hold my own in Super Street Fighter, but that guy is ridiculous. I also play with a guy named Silent Hitoshura. He listens to the podcast as well. Big shout out to you guys. I'm getting ready for a tournament, actually. The same place that has Pokemon tournaments will also be having a Super Street Fighter 4 tournament in the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to try and get ready for that. I don't know who I'm going to use as my main character, though. I'm thinking about going with Cody because, seriously, I'm so sick of playing with Ofuerte. So, yeah. And more Super Street Fighter 4. And that will conclude my fondling.
All right. You were longer than Gambus.
That's what she said.
I set that up just so you could say that. Anyway, well, I will move on to John now, who has been the most quiet.
Well, you know, don't want to steal a limelight from anybody. It's actually been quite quiet for me. I don't think I'll take very long. That's what she said. because of the fact that I've moved house. Really the two games I've played the most of, Lego Indiana Jones, getting my Lego fix on, just trying to 100% achieve that one, and I played some Crysis 2, which, on your recommendation, obviously, last week, Ken, that game's blinding. That really is good. It's like, Call of Duty on speed. So, no real problems with it so far. I've only done maybe 2 hours of the campaign, and I spent a lot of time on multiplayer. And then yesterday, as we mentioned, I joined the Frontwards Gamer crew and played some Killzone 3. And got my ass handed to me. Played some Uncharted 2 and got my ass handed to me. And some Crysis 2 and got my ass handed to me by Zero. But it was all good fun. So that's the most important thing. And there you go. That's all I've played this week. Oh, with the exception of Unbound Saga, which I picked up.
Yeah, everybody bought that because it was $2.
Yeah,
Unbound Saga.
Points.
Isn't that a PSP game?
No, it's an Xbox Live Arcade game. It's kind of like a rip-off Comic Zone.
Oh, that was originally a PSP game, I believe.
Yeah, it was. That's why I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, they put it on Xbox Live Arcade, and it was $15 when it came out, and everybody's like, no. And then this week they put it on sale for $2.
I didn't even know it.
So RIW is worth $2? Or 70 Space Quid or whatever it is over in y'all country?
Oh, yeah.
Uber in y'all country. You heard it here, folks.
What's in your mouth?
Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn. He's setting up for another. That what she said.
Yeah, it's not bad for 160 points. I'm not sure how long the offer lasts because I thought it was only going to be for a day on April 1st, but it seems to have been extended or going on for a few extra days. Yes, general brawler. Nothing fancy, nothing flash. A little bit repetitive, but aren't they all?
Yep.
For a couple of quid, you could do a lot worse. And that's it.
And what's going on this week?
I don't know, actually. I haven't really thought about it. Probably going to try and finish up getting the 1,000 achievements on LEGO. I also bought... some Mass Effect DLC. I bought the new one, The Arrival.
Ooh.
And also picked up the first one that they released, Kasumi's something.
Hidden something.
Yeah, I picked that up as well, so I'll probably go on Mass Effect 2. And also, because I have Microsoft Accounts to burn, I went and picked up Psychonauts because played it on the... PlayStation 2 back in the day.
I don't think you know how happy that makes me, John.
I aim to please. Yeah, I played it on the PS2 when it was, you know, when the PS2 was relevant. And as I haven't got a PS2 anymore, I really kind of miss that game. So I saw it on there, just scouting through the games on demand. And I thought 1,200 points... To be fair, that's probably worth double that, so pick that up, so I'll probably get a bit of that in as well.
Alrighty.
Record time.
Get in. I'll move on to Wombat.
Hey. Alright.
How's it going, Negative Nancy?
It sucks.
Good answer.
No, just kidding. Alright, so what did I play this week? I played Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12, The Masters. I actually played it two different ways. I played it the regular way, and I actually played it with the Move controller as well. It's really pretty cool with the Move controller, controlling the aiming with just the Move controller is kind of how I imagine walking down the street addicted to crack feels, because this is like... It's like you move it one way, and it's slow, 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 and then all of a sudden it takes off like a freaking rocket ship, and you're aiming halfway across the green, so you have to pull it back, and then it's slow, slow, and then it's quick again back the other direction. So it takes some getting used to from that standpoint, but the actual control when you're swinging and all that is pretty good. Game itself is good. I reviewed it this week, which you can find on ztgamedomain.com. Cheap plug. And I really liked it. Let's see, what else did I play? I played MLB The Show 2011, some more of that this week, including I also played the Home Run Derby on the Move with Boogeyman on that, which is a lot of fun, although neither one of us were aware that if you select a left-handed batter, you actually have to swing from the left side. So that was somewhat awkward, trying to swing left-handed. But it was a good time. That the move controlled home run derby is really fun on that. So I would recommend it next party you're at. If they've got a move, see if you can't break out MLB The Show and play some home run derby. Just make sure you've got an equal number of right and left-handed people there. Let's see what else. Played more Dragon Age 2. And I have to take back my comment about the voice acting, because I've discovered that it's really only the dwarf whose voice I don't like.
Uberic?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not even so much that I don't like his voice, because I think the voice actor is good. Again, yeah. There's just a disconnect for me that he has an American accent.
Yeah, I heard that last week, and he's Scottish Baroque, and then after that, I started hearing him like, oh, he's Ryan, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's just not a dwarf. I don't know what he is. He's just a short guy with a big jaw.
Oh, come on.
But
we call them little people.
So, by the way, am I allowed to say I like everybody but the dwarf? I don't know if I'm actually allowed to say that.
I don't know if that's politically correct.
No. But I do like his character. His voice, for some reason, I'm having trouble getting past the American accent. Let's see what else. I guess the only other thing is new this week. I played NASCAR 2011 for review, and it's all right. I mean, it's definitely the EA NASCAR has really kind of started to go downhill the last couple of years that they made them. I still think NASCAR 2004 is the best one of that series, and after that, they just kind of slowly went downhill. This one's all right. The actual racing's pretty good. The only problem is the medium difficulty level for people who aren't really, like, really, really into racing games, the medium difficulty level might feel a little bit too tough, and the easy difficulty level is about the easiest thing you've ever played in your life.
Don't get me wrong, though. How difficult can it be by pressing the right trigger to accelerate, the left trigger to brake, and turning the stick to the left?
You know, you'd think that, but when you're trying to do it in a pack of 43 other cars, and the track is only about as wide as two cars or three cars at most, it gets tricky. Because you got to make sure that you're not running into anybody else, otherwise you're going to spin out and end up all the way in the back of the pack. So it's a lot of
Ninja got him.
Ninja got him?
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead.
Sorry. I accidentally must have hit the mute button. Either that or the ninja did that's tapping me on the shoulder. You would think that it would be easier than it is, because when you're in the pack, you have to really control your speed, and you have to really watch. You have to be very careful when you're passing, because you want to make sure that you don't hit anybody else, and you got to make sure you stay in the draft, otherwise you're going to get left behind by a whole line of cars, because the draft is making them faster. There's a lot that goes into, I know that the joke with NASCAR stuff is always just hold the gas and turn left, but there's a lot more that goes into it than that, as far as controlling the car through the pack, and slowing down in the corners and that kind of stuff. So, plus there's road courses where you actually get this turn right.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know, it's hard to believe.
Those are actually really fun to watch on television, because those guys don't know how to race those.
It's like they come into the corner and they're like, "Oh, I'm not prepared for this." It's all right. They're just, some of the stuff is a little frustrating. Like, it just seems really shallow. Like, you can tell that it's kind of a base game for them to add on next year or whatever. So there's a lot of stuff that's a little shallow. You can create your own paint schemes for your car, but unfortunately it doesn't have some of the sort of nuances that the paint schemes in some of the EA NASCAR games had. Which makes it a little frustrating. It's definitely not as good as the paint tool in Forza, which, I mean, nothing else on the market really is, so that shouldn't really be a surprise. Coming from designing paint schemes in Forza to try and go to this game, it's really sort of subpar. Not to mention, I've run into a couple pretty strange glitches in the game already. Number one, the game is not very polished at all. There's a lot of, like, when you're coming out of a race or when you're coming in, and you can tell the system's loading because the screen starts chugging. And then I had a situation where somehow I wasn't even close to lapping a car. Like, everybody was still in a row. Nobody was a lap down. And all of a sudden, you get experience points for different things. And all of a sudden, it popped up and gave me 30 experience points for lapping a car. And I'm like, that's weird. Everybody's on the lead lap. Well, then it kept doing it over and over again. It was like, 30 points, lapped car. 30 points, lapped car. 30 points, lapped car. 30 points. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I got like, I don't know, probably 300 or 400 points for nothing, which was, I guess, kind of cool, but still kind of strange. And then the other thing, in the paint, in the editor, I made a car. I spent like 20 minutes designing this car and getting stuff the way I wanted it. And then I went to save it, and the game hard locked. And so I thought, okay, well, it's probably just a one-time thing. Let's go back into it. Let's try it again. So I did it again, and it hard locked again. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I am not putting all that much time into this again. I'm just going to paint one up real quick, and we'll move on. So instead of like 25 layers, which is what I had on it before, I only had like 5 layers on it, and it saved. So I don't know if it's just it gets too many layers on it. The system can't handle it, even though...
Ninja
got him.
Wah!
Well, I killed him this time.
Fruit Ninja. Well, in that case, I guess I will move on to our special guest. You're new. You've made it through the first hour. So what you been fond on?
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Hey, what's
up? It's Dr. Nick. Anyway, yeah, games this week. I finished up Crysis 2. That is a damn good game. I'm surprised the AI is retarded. It's very weird how the AI is set up in that game, where if you're not cloaked, the enemies immediately see you. You know, it's very frustrating. The cloak works really well, but you get the feeling when you're cloaked in that game that enemies will come around corners having never seen you cloak. And they'll be walking right at you. Like, they know exactly where you're at, but they're kind of fumbling around in front of you. But they're beelining right at you. So it's like, all right, well, why even bother? There is something very badass about being able to jump off of a building and then hit the armor mod at the last minute and kind of crash into the ground. I mean, the armor mods in the game, and a lot of people are complaining because it didn't have all 5 from the original, but they did a great job of kind of console babying it up for the consoles. It really feels great. Like, it's such a nice mechanic, being able to switch in and out. Like, you're stealthing around and you pop a couple guys and you throw the armor mod on, and then you're just running around like a tank blowing guys up. It's really good. The AI is broken, and the thing that kicked me in the teeth was I went through the whole game on Super Soldier and beat the game and did not get the 65 gamer score that I was supposed to get for Super Soldier, even though it says I beat it on Super Soldier. I went to the 360 achievement forums, and apparently this is just a regular problem that they have not addressed yet.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
So yeah, there are threads of folks just losing their mind over there, just like, what the fuck? It's like, but the good news is, even on Super Soldier, that game is cake. The 18th and 19th mission, I had maxed out my cloaking armor mod, and Jesus, I just ran past everybody. Like, it was like, go to this checkpoint. You got 20 guys ahead of you. You just take one of you go left or right, and you just run, and nobody even knows you're there. So it's like, well, that wasn't so bad.
No, until you got to fight the 4 guys.
Yeah, I know
that's
what you're talking
about. That's the only thing you can't run past. I tried to run past it.
I was like, what? The door's right there. Open, goddammit. Open!
Yeah.
No, I don't say, yeah.
No, oh,
that was a little tricky, but... So, yeah, it was a great game. Looks beautiful on the consoles. Did a great job. AI pissed me off. And, of course, no 65 gamer score. So, yeah, Crysis 2 finished that up. Also finished up my 88th hour of Dragon Age 2. Finished that this week. And that, Drew, I'm right there with you. There's just this frustration? Like, I don't know. It's just... like, that whole game... It's like Dragon Age the MMO. It's like Dragon Age World of Warcraft, where it's like, go get me this, and go run off to this cave that you've been in 17 times before, and go kill a bunch of guys, and then pick up the shiny, then run back, and then there you go. That's, and then, oh, thanks, you picked up my sword of... And then... And for... And I understand, like, having gone through the entire game, I understand how they set up the storyline. It's not a save-the-world story. It's just this guy's storyline from being a refugee all the way up to being king and savior of Kirkwall. Got it. It's not the world ending. It's not defeat the demons. It's just kind of a little bit of political intrigue, and I understand how they set up the story. But God damn it, like, the first 20 hours of that game is just getting enough coin together to go on an expedition. It's like, holy. And it's just a bunch of little mini missions to, you know, rescue cats out of trees and, you know, go, you know, random mercenary quests that really, I mean, and a lot of them have really good mini storylines. And they're really good put together, but it lacks that epic feel that you get when you're playing the game. And after you beat the game, you're like, okay, I understand why they did the storyline the way they did. Like, but I mean, there was just so much missing out of that storyline. I mean, for them to talk about, they had like 60 plus novels worth of story, and I didn't feel like I was getting into any of it. Like, I didn't feel like a part of it. I felt like I was just kind of a passerby and somebody just kind of helping out along the sides. It was really weird. Trying to think what else. One of the other things that pissed me off, and this happened a lot, was the conversation choices. And it goes for the Mass Effect 2 circular conversation choices, where you pick what you're going to say to the individual, and it gives you a little hi. Ninja? Is that you?
Ninja. There's a lot of ninjas running around today.
There's also an echo.
Echo!
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, you have the Mass Effect 2 wheel where you pick your conversation choices, and that's great. But the generalizations of what it tells you you're going to say and what you end up actually saying are two totally different things altogether. Like,
yeah.
My example, and this made me want to throw my controller, and to give you some idea, you spend the first 20 hours of the game trying to save 50 gold pieces, okay? This is putting it into context, 50 gold pieces. So you're running around doing 100 little mini quests to get 50 gold pieces. In the second chapter, you run into some slave, and you free him from whatever. You free him from his master, and he's like, oh, well, what will I do now? I don't know what to do with myself. I've always been a slave. And he's like, oh, well, your choices are, well, tough shit, and two, I'll give you some coin. I'm like, well, all right, I'll give you a couple coppers and kick him in the ass and send him on his way. I gave the son of a bitch 10 gold coins. That's like, what the fuck? No, I was like, okay, that was a little extravagant. I guess he's going to go live in a mansion now. Son of a bitch. So,
was that when you were Fenris whenever you had that happen?
No, it was on the Fenris side quest when he was,
yeah.
But God damn it, that was such like a shit. It was such a what? I figured I was going to throw him a couple coppers and be like, you know, spare a coin, like, bloke, and right on. But God damn it. So that's just a little taste of all the random nonsense that happens with the conversation choices in that game, because they don't tell you exactly. Like, that should have been in parentheses. You know, here, spare a coin, and then in parentheses, set this dude up for life.
They did that in Dragon Age 1.
Yeah, I know. God damn it. Anyway, that was just annoying. So I enjoyed the game, but there were enough little... That game was definitely death by a thousand paper cuts. And I swear the last 20 minutes of the game, I was just mashing on the A button. Like, I was such a death tank at that point. I was playing as a two-handed warrior. Two-handed warrior, and I was just mowing guys down. And it's fun, but... The normal difficulty on that game is way too easy, and the hard difficulty, forget about it, because you have to micromanage every battle to the nth degree, and the way that they just pop dudes out of the sky, you know, oh, there's five guys. Oh, wait, those five guys just called for reinforcements. The guys are falling out of buildings and coming out of just literally materializing out of nothing in front of you. It's like, okay, that's some bullshit. So, there's just a lot of frustration. But, Drew, for the first 20 hours, when you, how long are you into that game?
I'm close to the end of the second chapter. I'm doing basically the loyalty missions for everybody.
Right, right, right. Which I enjoyed. I did all of them. I loved all of them. I thought they were great. Have you met Knight Commander Meredith yet?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm getting close.
Ninja.
Holy shit.
So we're doing a podcast.
Get this ninja off me.
Get him. Call the police.
Holy crap, man.
Sorry, that was me.
Hey.
We thought it was the ninja that killed you.
Yeah, he got me, but it's all right. I was able to fight him off and throw him out the window, so we're good.
We were about to call back up.
He'll be back, trust me. They don't stop.
I have a feeling.
But I have not met Meredith yet, no.
So to give you some idea, they start the whole story off, and the dwarf Varric is being interrogated by who I thought was Knight Commander Meredith, because you never actually meet her until the third chapter. So I thought the entire time that Inquisitor was Knight Commander Meredith. And then they roll her out. I'm like, wait a minute, who the fuck is this?
I'm like 8 hours in, so let's please not spoil anything.
Oh, you're not missing anything. It's not like a big spoiler. Just the idea, I missed the beginning of the game where they have Varric sitting in the throne and he's being interrogated. I thought the Inquisitor was Knight Commander Meredith.
I gotcha.
It is not. And I was like, what the... Okay, thanks for setting that up. I must have missed the introduction, but anyway. So stupid little things like that. So I've cleared out most of the games that I want to play right now, and right now I'm finishing up, and you're going to laugh. I have a Gamefly account where I'm literally just grabbing random crap off Gamefly because they won't send me anything good. So I have Front Mission Evolved because I was a big fan of the Front Mission series as a strategic, you know, a strategy overhead tactical game. And they turned it into a third-person mech shooter, which I knew when I got into it, when I read it. And I'm like, all right, well, I expected the worst. And I started off in the first, like, 2 hours, was like, how did I never hear of this? This is pretty goddamn good. There are a lot of fucking things wrong with it. First off, it's a mech shooter, but every chance that they get, they dismount you into third-person... running around like Uncharted, duck behind cover, and that part, those portions are horrible. Terrible. They're totally off. I'm playing on hard right now, literally running around with the shotgun and just running up to guys and just mowing them down, not taking any damage, not getting behind cover, just running full tilt, throwing grenades. It's ridiculous. So you got that. So it's a mech shooter. It's a mech game, but they dismount you every chance they get. The big thing with this game that, you know, it's your typical Japanese storyline. We have a 17-year-old and he's a badass and, you know, he doesn't believe in himself, you know, the typical, and he's got, you know, he's not in the military, but it's hard to explain, but if you play JRPGs, it very much feels like JRPG storyline. Like, he's a 17-year-old, but he's, you know, he's smarter and stronger and he has this special ability.
He's the chosen one.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what you get. And the voice acting in the game is really good, which is surprising. Like, the game should have horrible voice acting for the storyline it gives you. But it's really good. It sounds like they actually got some American – like, it takes place in New York, and it sounds like they actually got some Americans to do the voice acting. No offense to Japanese voice actors, but you know what I'm saying. You know, it feels very well put together that way. So this kid's special ability and his ability with his mech is called the Edge System, which is like a slow motion. You can slow down time and kind of zoom around with your mech. Well, within 20 minutes of getting that ability, there's a story arc that jumps in that says you can't use this anymore. So it locks it for like 3 acts out of 5. So, like, it keeps setting up these things in the game that it does not allow you to do later. Yeah. Like, your mech, again. So, you got that, and then what was the other? There was something else that was driving me nutty about that game. The fights are kind of repetitive. I don't know. It's just, It's okay. It's very okay. It's definitely like 5-6 range, but it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And they did all right with it, but for Square Enix, you know. I think that's all I got. I actually just downloaded that Unbound Saga for 160 points. It's still up there for 160 points, and for 160 points, I'll try pretty much anything. So,
you can join me for some co-op at some point.
Oh, right on. What else? I've got Far Cry 2 here. Oh, I've got Castlevania. I know that's a point of contention with a lot of shows that I'm listening to. Like, it's good, it's bad. I actually had it for the PS3. I played it a little bit, and it's like, I don't feel like, goddamn, so long. I was like, I don't have time for a, 20-hour Castlevania game that's okay. So I kind of put it down and never got back to it, and now I'm back on it. So I'll probably be playing that this week.
Me and Drew have a...
Blasphemer. Blasphemer.
It's a beautiful, beautiful game, but I'm about to not care about the DLC if they don't fix this soon.
Yeah. I think you guys
tweet the fuck off.
Yes. At that this week. What's the DLC?
It's more chapters. It takes place after the
the
ending, and it's been on PS3 now for 3 weeks.
Okay. Is that what you guys are bitching? Well, all right.
They explain the crazy ending.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only reason I'm going through this game is because I keep hearing people talk about, oh, well, did you see the ending? Well, no, I didn't see the... No, I'm not...
Yeah, that's cool. Games,
frick, all right. Well, let's see. There's another vote, so I will have to...
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really awesome game.
The game is incredible. There are some frustrating, stupid parts.
The platforming is kind of crap.
Yeah, but see, like, the set pieces, the boss battles, the enemies,
the music,
the voice acting, like, everything about that game is so top tier.
Like we talked about before, they probably could have shaved about 5 to 6 hours of fluff off of the game. But the meat of the game is fantastic.
I can feel that when I just hit chapter 2 and it was just like, and you see like the book opens up and there are 12 chapters or something. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a long game, but damn, is it worth it.
Yeah. All right. I'll take y'all's word for it. I do not have much, there's not much coming out next week, I don't think, is there?
No, it's dead till the 19th, and then the 19th you get like SOCOM, Portal, Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's a huge week.
Yeah. All right. Well, time to get caught up on some stuff, I guess. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just playing everybody's favorite game, run a website and a charity, which is...
Jeez. I don't know how you're doing all that, too.
No goddamn time job. Fortunately, I sit at a computer all day for work, so I am able to get a lot of my other work done while I'm at work.
See, I'm right there with you.
I do the same thing. All my reviews get wrote at work.
Yeah, most of mine do, too, and then most of your guys' reviews get posted at work.
See, I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah, that's really the only reason I can continue to run my website, truly.
I know. I'm poking around like, I should look somewhere else to work. And I'm like, until they lock down me getting access to my website, then I guess I can't leave.
So. Yeah. And that makes it beautiful. It does.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I got. How about you, too?
Wombat, did you have anything before the ninja got you? I know you were talking about NASCAR.
No, I don't even know how much of what I said you guys heard because I don't know when I cut out. So I'll just leave it at NASCAR, meh, read my review. that was it. That was the last thing. Oh, no, that's not actually. I do have one quick thing. I actually played with Boogeyman, the WWE All-Stars. And you know what? When I saw the trailers and stuff for it, I was like, man, that looks really lame. Playing it, man, it was a blast. I mean, playing it multiplayer with somebody else, like right there on the couch, was fantastic. It's definitely a fun game. I wouldn't pay $60 for it, no chance. But it's definitely, if it drops down to $20, and you're the type of person that has people over that you can sit on the couch and play against each other, it's a blast. I definitely would recommend it for that. And that's it. That pretty much wraps it up.
All right. I have a few things to talk about. I was actually playing on the PS3 a game called Moondiver, which
I saw that.
It's a very interesting name for a game. But it's a 2D side scroller made by the guy who did Strider. And nice. Gambus just woke up.
Holy crap. That's out this week?
It's already out, dude. It's been out for like a week and a half.
Holy crap.
But it's a 2D side-scroller. It reminded me a lot of Hardcore Uprising, too, because they have four different characters, and each character you can level up as you play through the game and unlock new magic attacks and stuff. It's a very pretty 2D side-scroller. My one complaint, if I had one about the game, is it's really kind of monotonous. Like, you can just mow through enemies with, like, one hit. Like, one hit takes them out. And there's just, there's, like, endless amounts of enemies. Like, the first stage is broken up into, like, 10 different sections. And each section is, you know, run from point A to point B, mow everybody down in the way, and just be kind of stylish about it. So, but your character can, like, grasp onto any wall, hang from the ceiling, attack from any area, do different magic attacks. It's a very fun, you know, retro-style kind of 2D action game, but it doesn't do anything really super special. So
sounds like Muramasa almost.
Yeah, it's... And, I mean, there's a story going on, but really it's not prominent, so you don't really care.
And there's multiplayer.
Yes, there is multiplayer. You can play locally or you can play online. And the nice thing is when you level up your characters like Hardcore Uprising in the Uprising mode, you can take them back through the levels. But at the same time, it also has the same problem as Hardcore Uprising, where if you die, it's back to the beginning. So, you know, you'll be spending a lot of time upgrading your character as opposed to, you know, just progressing through each level. But no, if you enjoy games like Strider and Hardcore Uprising and stuff like that, you'd probably really enjoy it. It plays really good, it looks really good, it's fun. So, I mean, it's I asked K-Dub if he wanted to review it because it's on my share and he's on my share. So, he played a little bit of it this weekend when he came up. Which takes me into the next game is I finally threw down in some multiplayer Mortal Kombat. And
nice.
I can't wait. Like, I think we played about 10 different matches, and that game plays so well multiplayer.
Yeah, I played some too with my roommate. I'm really digging Scorpion now. Like, I can actually pull off combos with him.
You know who my favorite character in the demo is? Is Johnny Cage.
Melina.
No, Johnny Cage. I can do some sick combos with Johnny Cage. And you know what I love about the game that I hadn't... Like, the first few times I played the demo, I didn't really dig into was the enhance moves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That just extends your combo even more.
Yeah, and it makes the move more powerful, and it, like, throws people off. Like, especially Johnny Cage's, his shadow kick enhance move, he does the shadow punch afterwards, and people think, oh, the shadow kick missed, I'm going to get up, and bam, I get hit by the uppercut.
Yeah, and some of them, like Scorpion's spear...
Yeah,
has armor properties, so if somebody's shooting a projectile at you, you can throw the enhanced version of the spear, and not only will it, you'll absorb the projectile, but you'll also hook them with the spear, and you can start your combo.
Yeah, there's so much depth into that game, and like we were talking about when we were playing it, is like there's so many little touches, like Melina's move where she jumps on you and stabs you with the Psy.
Right.
Like if the Psy is already in you, she'll jump on you, pull it out, and then stab you again. Instead of it just disappearing and, you know, her stabbing you again. It's just the little things like that that, like, are really cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am pumped, especially after this week. I told myself I wasn't going to look at the leak, and then I did, of the character select screen, because I could not click on something that said Mortal Kombat. So I have seen every character that's in the game, including a character that I don't want to talk about.
Because did you see all the endings and all that, or did you go like all the scripts and everything?
No, I looked at the character select screen and I looked at the artwork for all the stages, which there are 30.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's why I did the same thing, basically. I looked at the character select screen and the stages, but I'm not going to spoil the rest of it.
No, the story is something I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be the first thing I do when I play the game.
Yeah, because unlike some people, I actually really enjoy the story in Mortal Kombat. So.
Yeah, I do too. I really like it, and I'm really interested to see how they retell the first three games, because the first three games, in my opinion, still have the best story. So, I'm really excited to play through that, but... The 30 stages thing is just like, hey, Marvel Capcom 3, here's a bitch slap in the face.
Yeah.
With your 8, 9 stages, whatever.
They don't even have 9, are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
There's like 5. And one of those is training stage.
I know, I was so disappointed. And It just keeps getting worse. It's like
I'm done with that game. I'm completely done with that game.
Yeah.
And I'm a freaking Capcom fanboy and a Marvel fanboy, and I will freaking like I'm done unless they fix the freaking multiplayer where I can actually get into a ranked game. And whenever they both give me a spectator mode, I may think about going back to it.
Yeah. After seeing that King of the Hill thing from Mortal Kombat,
that looks awesome.
I'm like, dude, how?
What is that?
It's basically like a room with a bunch of little avatars, and you can watch the match that's going on. It's like a spectator mode. And basically, it's winner stays, you know, and then the next person moves up. And, you know, it's like, that should have been in Marvel Capcom 3. No excuses. And it wasn't.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that should have been in Marvel Capcom 3.
Which will be available as paid DLC in a couple months.
Yeah, of course.
They got those paid characters, right, huh?
Yeah, paid characters. I can't believe they charge for Shadow Battle.
Like I said, that was when I said, I'm done with this game. Yeah. They're really going to charge me with that shit? I can beat the shit out of those Shadow guys. No problem.
Yeah, it's not even worth downloading.
Exactly.
So disappointing. But no, Mortal Kombat's coming 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's going to be my next. Yep. That's going to be my big fighting game. I've made up my mind about it.
And you know what's awesome? I got news this weekend that I will have it early.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah. So I'll disappear earlier than 2 weeks from now.
Now, did you have to harass them, or did they hunt you down on this? Warner Brothers, you care if you send me a little thing there?
No, I actually had to hunt them down. The PR people for Warner Brothers are a little weird. Okay.
I was going to say, I was like, wow, that's pretty good. You guys got them. I mean, y'all are, you know, you've been doing this a while. You get everything. But, yeah, we, of course, asked for copies. And you're lucky if you get the email back saying we don't even have any.
Yeah. I actually met up with the PR people from Warner Brothers at PAX.
Yeah,
they showed me Mortal Kombat. And he told me this week, he asked me which version of Mortal Kombat I wanted and which version of Fear I wanted. So
Nice.
So I'm actually excited. It's getting close.
So, which version are you going to be playing?
Both.
All.
Yeah,
still got both of them pre-ordered.
Yeah, I bought both of them. I have both of them paid off in full, so.
So, wait, are you getting three copies?
Yeah, if they send me the review copy early, I'll just cancel my PS3 pre-order because I asked for the PS3 version.
Okay.
So, I will just cancel that pre-order because I bought the collector's edition on 360.
Gotcha.
So, is there a 360 exclusive character?
No, not as of yet.
Wow.
I don't think there's going to be one.
No, he said it may come later down the line in DLC, but at launch there will just be... I mean, the game is done. It's being packaged. You know it is.
Right.
The people who have, you know, dev kits are already reviewing it. We saw that from the leak this week. So, you know... It's done. It's finished. There's nothing else going in it before the game launches.
I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah. Which just makes me go, well, why can't I have it now?
Exactly.
The rest of the stuff I'm playing for review. I did play the Unbound Saga. It's definitely worth $2. Not much more than that, but... a surprise game that I got this week for review... I'd never heard of the company that makes this game. I've really heard very little about the game. It's called Mayhem 3D. It's an Xbox 360 game. It's basically Destruction Derby, but it looks like Mad World.
Eh?
Black and white?
Yeah, it's all in black and white. It comes with 3D glasses, so you can do the old blue and red 3D mode, which sucked.
Okay.
But the game itself is really good. Like, if you enjoyed the old Destruction Derbies where it's just, you know, you in an arena tearing down cars, it's also got, like, a King of the Hill domination mode where you have to knock the cars off the ledge, and then it's got traditional races. And the cars control really well. The physics are really good. The modes are good. It's not overly complicated. It's got a really cool aesthetic as far as like the main menu, and the missions are broken up into comic books, and each comic book is a different issue that you have to defeat. Tons of cars to unlock, and it's only $40. So, I mean, if you're a big fan of Destruction Derby, I definitely suggest like checking it out, because it's nobody's going to hear about this game. It's going to drop to $20 real fast, and it's more than worth $20.
Who put this out?
In it.
Oh, God. Who is the company that put this out? I can't even remember their name. I will have to look it up. But, yeah, it showed up, and I'm like, well, I didn't ask for this. And I'm like, oh boy, this looks like one of those 505 games that's just going to be absolutely terrible. And I popped it in, started playing it, and I'm like, wow, this is really pretty good. So, yeah, it's very impressive. It's $40 retail. But, yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out if you're a fan of the old Destruction Derbies.
Are you playing multiplayer?
No, I thought about hopping online, and then I realized that there's probably four people who own this game. So, I probably won't find a match until I know somebody that owns it. I picked up GameStop had a big sale going on this week. Their Power Saver sale or whatever.
Power Saver.
Yeah, and the only thing on the list that I didn't own that I hadn't played was Venetica. And I remember Fixer talking about how he liked it. And after playing Fable 3, this just feels like a really generic Fable. And I mean really generic.
Venetica. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it was released by Atari back in January, and it's basically Fable if you could only choose one character. It's a female character, and like the story is, you know, she's like with this guy, and then the village gets attacked, and she decides to become a warrior to avenge his death, blah blah blah. But the game itself plays just like Fable. I mean, it's almost a carbon copy of Fable, just not as good as Fable.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound too bad, but
no.
I definitely don't want to play it then.
Yeah, and that was the thing. That's why I bought it, because I loved Fable 3. I had such a good time playing through Fable 3 that I'm like, okay, well, I could go for another one of those kind of action RPG games. And I played about 30 minutes of it, and I'm like, nah, this really ain't hooking into me, so I don't know that I'll go back and play that. The other thing I'm playing is for review is the new Dishwasher game, Vampire Smile.
Oh, why didn't you give that to me?
Do you want to throw your controller at the screen? Go right ahead.
I like Vampire Dishwasher Samurai. I thought that was good.
Well, that game was fucking difficult as shit and frustrating.
Yeah, that was really my concern going into the sequel, is like the first one I gave up on just because it was too hard. And whenever you would die, the checkpoints were terrible.
Oh my god.
In this one, they have fixed that. The checkpoints are not terrible anymore.
Okay.
So, you actually, if you die, you don't go that far back, thankfully. And that's really the biggest thing. There are now two characters, so you can choose to go through two different story modes. You can go through as the dishwasher, or you can go through as the prisoner. There's multiplayer to play online, so you can play the co-op through the missions. And other than that, it's the dishwasher, you know? It's very violent, very 2D, action-oriented game. It is still very, very difficult. But it is not as bad when you die and you only go back one room as opposed to the beginning of the level.
You know, I mean, like, I played the dishwasher, and then I remember you gave me Shank for review on the PC.
Yes.
Shank was actually really good. In fact, I would like to have a sequel to that game.
I agree. Entertainment.
We will have to see if they make a sequel to that. It was a very good game.
Yeah.
But no, if you liked the dishwasher and you just got frustrated at the checkpoints, I would definitely recommend checking this one out. At least download the demo, because like I said, the checkpoints are fixed. They're definitely not a pain anymore.
I'll think about it.
But I remember playing the review version, I got owned many, many a time. And I was like, alright, if it puts me back at the beginning of the level, I'm just going to be pissed. But it didn't. So, thankfully that's nice. And then the last thing that I played was I played a lot of Crysis 2 multiplayer, and I have to say, after playing it as much as I did last night in the Front Towards Gamer marathon, and then after that hopping on some ranked matches, that this is my new multiplayer game.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I have to get this game.
I had a lot of fun playing this game. I'm not saying that it's better than Killzone. I'm really not, because Killzone is very, very good. But this is more my speed. I enjoy the fact that there's so much crap to unlock, like using your armor, your stealth, and your power all upgrade online depending on how much you use them.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that. And then every time you level it up, you get a new power that you can equip, like a perk. And it's really nice. And you know, another thing that I like that they took from Call of Duty but made it better was the, you know, when you get kill streaks in Call of Duty, you get like things like airstrikes and stuff like that. Well, in this one, it's the same thing, except you don't have to get the kill. if you find that whenever you kill somebody, they drop a dog tag. And if you kill somebody and you don't collect the dog tag lays there, so somebody else can come by and pick it up, and you can collect 3 dog tags without ever killing anybody.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of...
Wow, that's pretty rare. I've never actually been able to do that, but...
Yeah, it's possible. It's rare, but it's possible. Like, if somebody kills, like, 2 guys and then gets killed and you're right behind him, hey, walk up, grab 2 of the dog tags, and hey, you're two closer.
I also like the fact that they choose the perks and not the player.
Yeah, exactly. So they're the same for everybody. I think the only difference is they're based on which faction you are. Like, if you're playing as the one side, you get the ultimate one is 7 kills, and you get, like, the maxed-out nano suit. Whereas on the other side, if you get maxed out, it's like an airstrike from a... What's that?
I don't get this game. Like, isn't Crysis, like, about aliens taking over the planet?
Yeah. Yes.
But there's also terrorists?
Well, here's the storyline is that, yeah, there are aliens taking over New York. However, there is a crazy megalomaniacal, I don't want to spoil it, but bottom line, this guy has his own security force, and that's who the Marines are going up against to get control of the nanosuit.
Okay.
But no, the multiplayer is very deep. I love the dog tag system. I love, like, whenever you get an award in a match, you unlock a dog tag. I just love so much about the multiplayer. It feels like I could play it for a very, very long time. I think I've got probably about 3 or 4 hours into the multiplayer. I'm only a level 9, and I've only unlocked 10% of the online available stuff.
Wow.
So it's a big, long game, and there's plenty of people online playing, and I think there will be for a while.
Damn it, Zero.
And plus, the single player is badass. It's really fun.
Maybe when it goes down in price, the first price drop, I'll pick it up.
All right, well, let me know when you do, because I will definitely hop on and play some multiplayer, because it's a lot of fun.
All right, for now, I will be sticking with Killzone.
All right, well, and that wraps up for me as far as future fondling. I'm hoping to play some more 3DS stuff this week for review, which we were supposed to get this week, but we didn't. And maybe some other stuff, whatever shows up, like Shanghai 6 said, it's a slow couple weeks until the 19th.
Yeah.
So it's time to catch up, and I'm sure, I know all the guys on my side have plenty to play.
Oh, Jesus.
So.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. I know, Wombat, I got another game for you.
Are you kidding me?
Well, besides the one I already texted you about. You know, one, yeah. So it's like, I know we all have plenty to get posted up over the next couple weeks, and then we're going to get hammered again. So, and that wraps it up. Now that the fondling is over, it's time to do a little bit of news. And we have a very special announcer guest this week.
Here we go. All right, let's see if I can do this. Mando! News for an SR radio program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Alert. Brought to you by 3 hours of sleep. Because apparently I have trouble... See, right there. I can't talk right now. talk about working into the deep reptilian tissue of your brain for me to pull that out of my ass like that. Like, I listen to you guys. That is apparently right there next to Super Mario Brothers music and, like, just... I don't know. That's just crazy.
You know how we do it? Repetition, repetition, repetition.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't we know it?
All right. First up in the news I have this week is the creator of Madden is suing EA for tens of millions of dollars. Robin Antonick believes he is owed a great sum of money because he came up with the original idea. EA came back and said the complaint and its 20-year-old claim are utterly without merit.
Are you sure this isn't an April Fool's joke?
No, I believe all the April Fool's jokes were removed, thankfully. I'm not going to talk about the Bruce Willis game directed by M. Night Shyamalan. I'm not going to talk about Marcus Fenix in Mortal Kombat. So,
about Halo Dance Central.
Yeah, that was a good one. Microsoft is throwing an Xbox Live Rewards program where you can win up to, I believe, 10,000 gamer points. Microsoft points?
Yeah.
It's really? Testing your IQ. Gamer IQ Trivia Challenge.
I've seen those questions, and they're generally straightforward.
Oh, good. Let's do that.
Yeah, and then they'll do like Sony did and just say, yeah, those PlayStation rewards, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Did that already.
That was wonderful. A long-lost NES game called Bioforce Ape was found and preserved.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And now you can play it. It's online, available for download. It's an old NES game. It was found that was never released.
Who was it made by?
I have no idea. The story doesn't say, but apparently you can play as a monkey in a diaper.
Monkey in a diaper.
Awesome.
Trevin.
Wait a minute. All right, think about the process it takes to make and put out a video game today. But, I mean, think about, how do you lose a game?
I don't know.
Like, that's a conspiracy shit right there. Like, how, like, that had to have been, like, a dozen guys minimum. I mean, we're talking, like, there's an actual case and everything? Like, a Nintendo 8-bit video game?
No, I don't think there was a case. I think it was just the code that was found.
It's just a ROM. It's, okay, yeah. Well, whatever. Screw it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Peter Moore is defending Michael Vick as the cover athlete candidate, saying he served his time.
Yeah, but, I mean, really? He's going to be on the cover of Madden? I mean, he didn't... I mean, don't get me wrong, Michael Vick's a decent athlete, but what did he do this year?
No, he's a great athlete, and that's why.
Yeah, he did a lot this year.
Yeah, oh, he didn't do well? I thought he did.
No, he did great this year. They actually re-signed him for 3 years.
He was incredible this year.
Yeah, he almost went to the Super Bowl.
That's almost. Movie stars and athletes, man, they can get away with murder as long as they can put out in the box office or the field, you know?
Or just plain put out.
Yeah.
Or put out. Yeah.
Here you go, Gambus. This one's for you. Dragon Quest X is quite far along.
Geez.
It will be out. There will be details before the end of the year.
Hopefully at E3.
Here's a
Tokyo
here's,
game show.
Yeah. Tokyo.
You're right.
Here we Tokyo. Go. Here's a sad news story. Sony Online Entertainment laid off more than 200 people, and the agency has been canceled.
Wow.
I heard about that. Wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's not fake.
No, yeah, it happened. It's a shame. I was actually looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, the agency's been in development since, what, 2006?
Six.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that. God. Yeah. I thought they were, again, they put out that Facebook game that was, you know, Mafia Wars agency kind of thing going on, but I thought they were actually moving forward with it. That's a shame.
Yeah, it's ended. And speaking of cancellations, Capcom also canceled Mega Man Universe.
Yes.
I'm not a big Mega Man guy, but I was actually looking forward to that.
I wonder if it had anything to do with Inafune leaving.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's disappointing, though.
So what do you think is going to happen to Mega Man Legends 3?
Well, if it follows the trend, I mean, if he was the one pushing Mega Man, I wouldn't be surprised to see it get canceled, but I don't know how far along it is, so, you know. Never can tell.
That sucks.
Let's see, what else we got going on here? There's always so much crap. Steambot Chronicles 2 was canceled. I know all 5 people waiting on that are disappointed.
What?
Gambus knows what I'm talking about. Bumpy Trot.
Yep. Great game.
Bumpy Trot. Oh, man. Ratchet & Clank developer will apparently not develop NGP games in-house. So, everybody getting excited about, you know, Resistance on the NGP. It's not made by Insomniac in-house.
As long as they don't give it to Obsidian, I'm cool.
Yeah, that would be an interesting, what?
Oh, Obsidian. How do they?
I'd actually like to see that.
How do they keep getting work?
I don't know.
VanillaWare is returning with a new game called Grand Knights History. It's a their first traditional 2D RPG.
Huh?
Oh. Wow. So.
Oh, 2D RPG. Okay.
I know there's a beta test going on for Xbox 360 for a new disc format. It's apparently going to increase the size of the discs for more storage of games.
What does it do, Blu-ray?
It's not Blu-ray.
It's Blu-ray.
It's only about a gig.
Yeah, it's about a gig of extra space. And basically, I think what they're doing is they're pulling off the piracy checks, which take up like 2 gigs of the disc or something. Oh, there's a new douchebag in the industry. The guys who created the boss at Angry Birds, the guys who made Angry Birds. First, really? he called out Microsoft, saying that they sucked because their Xbox Live infrastructure would not support Angry Birds frequent updates. And now he's taking a shot at Nintendo, saying that Nintendo is selling $49 pieces of plastic to people.
Wow.
Aren't they?
$49 piece of plastic?
Yep, that's 3DS. What he says.
No, not 3DS. He's talking about games, I guess.
Yeah. This guy has got a big head on his shoulders after this.
Well,
game.
When you make one of that, that's like the Zynga folks on Facebook going to GDC and pissing everybody off. It's like, yeah, what do you got? I'm a billionaire. Come at me. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like,
it's kind of funny for a guy that, like, basically stole the idea of another game.
Yeah. For real. Storm a castle, like I said.
Yep. And even stole somebody's physics engine and didn't give him credit.
Oh, yeah. Didn't that guy stand up at, what was that? Was that GDC 2?
Yeah,
which physics engine are you guys using? Yeah, I made that. Thanks.
Thanks for giving me credit.
Just check it. Just want to make sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right. L.A. Noire received a special award this week. It will be nominated at De Niro's Film Festival on April 25th.
Really?
It's a very interesting thing.
Interesting.
It's like the first game to win an award like that.
Civilization 4, Christopher... I can't think of a name. He won a Grammy for Baba Yetu.
Yeah, the music, show. Yeah.
Just goddamn awesome song, by the way. If you haven't heard it, download it. Amazing. Sorry.
3DS day one sales outpaced previous Nintendo handhelds.
No kidding.
In other news, water is wet.
Yes. God damn it. And that was one of those things 6 months ago. I was like, I should get out a loan and put that onto the words. I should go buy a bunch of Nintendo stock. I said, never mind. I'm not going to do it. Sure enough.
Just wait.
Well, that's what happens when people like gamblers go and buy two.
One for him and one for his wife.
Yeah.
Who, I'm going to be honest, if I wasn't at the wedding, I wouldn't believe existed.
Snap. On.
Just kidding, Gambus.
Choplifter is being revived as Choplifter HD.
What the hell is that?
Really? Was the world clamoring for a new Choplifter?
Twitter? People are losing their shit over that. Oh, Choplifter HD! Really?
Twitter people are stupid. I've already come to that conclusion.
These are people who come to respect in the gaming industry who are just like, Choplifter HD, finally! It's like, what? No, who's waiting on this?
Somebody's waiting on everything.
I'm sure it'll be fun. Whoopee.
Speaking of the PlayStation Rewards program we talked about earlier, it's been postponed.
Oh, yeah.
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. No, it hasn't.
Okay, well, what's up?
Well, because...
Out of point, John W.
earlier. So it's running now. it is running now because the girlfriend took that questionnaire earlier, about 2 hours ago.
Huh.
So
I forgot they had the button.
Yeah, if it's been postponed,
did you turn it back on? Oh man, I totally forgot. Shit.
But it's the questionnaire for the 10,000 Microsoft points is, or 100,000, whatever it is definitely up there.
Interesting. Alright. TGS has not been cancelled, but it will be, it could end up being downsized.
Insert offensive earthquake joke here.
Yeah.
What else?
I thought you were going to insert an offensive downsized joke.
Well, that one I could probably just throw out there. But.
And if you're interested, there's about 13 million news stories about the 3DS. So, yeah.
Meh.
Apparently everybody's favorite game on Twitter is What's Your Friends Code.
Yeah, I know. I've seen like 14 billion of those things pop up.
Last Sunday was like, oh boy, what's your freak? Calm down. What are you going to do?
I'm going to see you playing Super Street Fighter 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Or not. Or just changing out friend codes.
I thought you could, like, you can't even send, like, a message. When I saw Gambus online, I, like, tried to click his gamer card. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can send him, like, a little chat message. No. You can just see him. Hey, what's up? Wave at me.
Nintendo is afraid of people talking to other people.
I know.
Pedophiles.
I'm going to make my me look like Herbert from Family Guy.
I sure would like to have your friend code. I'd love to play some Pokemon with you, Mr. Frustrated Fury.
Send it over here, are muscly arms.
Are you paying attention? There are all sorts of Pokeballs you can play with.
I think I've just slipped into some kind of parallel universe.
Birds everywhere.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Stuff. You better get in my van, you motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I bet his pedometer's off the chart.
Off the chart.
Alright, I'm going to move over to the questions. I'm flying through this. Jerkstore81 says, what's up, N4G? I'm worried my topic I want to discuss may cause me to be mocked, but here it goes. I wish the industry as a whole, publishers, developers, analysts, and podcasts, would get away from using the word consumer or all variants of the word to describe gamers. I feel the word is grossly inaccurate to describe us as an audience, or as a way to describe the concept of playing a video game. For example, no one would ever tell someone they were consuming Mass Effect 2. No one would ever buy a game and say, oh boy, I can't wait to consume this. In fact, Microsoft has been known to call DLC consumables. We play video games. We use our video game consoles. We engross ourselves in an experience. We don't eat or consume a video game and then discard it as waste. All working professionals and companies in the industry shouldn't use such a blatantly generic term as consumer to describe a passionate community of gamers. It just seems incorrect, lazy, and is disruptive to the relationship a gaming company has with gamers. I realize I'm probably a small minority who thinks this, but what do you think? Love your website, love your podcast.
Well, I think if you're going to, from the way that he's worded that, the only word you'd really want to associate would be player. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm considered a big one of those around these parts.
I bet you are. We know about your obsession with polygonal boobies.
Player, player, player.
But, consumer is a marketing term. And, I don't think necessarily, I don't say people are consumers all the time. I mean, yeah, if I'm talking about, like, as far as sales goes and stuff like that, I would.
It's a boardroom term. I mean, I don't usually hear people that are in, most podcasters, I would hope, are in the group. So I can't imagine calling, fellow people in the same, basic group that I'm in, consumers. My fellow consumers.
A lot of people would like to consume Gambus Khan.
Yeah.
Ew.
And I'm two of them.
What? You just blew my mind.
What's going on?
Holy crap. Alright. So, Twitter. Twitter, 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 Twitter.
Twitter already? Really?
Yeah. Well, dude, like, my time. I still got stuff coming after this. So, let's do this. It's Twitter time.
A cashew.
Let's do that. Yeah, exactly. We missed one last week. Fixer hit us right at the end. He said the 3DS is impressive. I can't wait for Zelda. John W. posted about us. I don't know who he was talking to because he didn't reply to anybody.
Well, sorry?
He said, it's taken you this long to discover N4G. Shame on you. You should really give the podcast a listen.
I'm sure I replied somebody for that. My bad.
Nope, no reply.
Oh, crap.
Hopefully they'll see it.
We got an April Fool's Follow Friday from Shanghai 6, so thank you, sir.
Damn right. You are welcome.
So, Doom, I know you and Frustrated Fury had a little back and forth.
Yes, we did.
He said, can you guys convince young as hell Frustrated Fury that he is not a kid of the 90s? I've been busting his balls about that. How can I, a 34-year-old, be a kid of the 90s along with a 25-year-old? Just saying, darn youngin'. Love you guys. Peace.
Okay.
What's up, Fury?
I, I grew up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Power Rangers, fucking Ghostbusters. That all happened in the 90s.
You know what? You grew up with reruns.
Bullshit! Super Mario Brothers.
He kind of did, Drake.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how, if you're 34 years old, you really consider yourself a child of the 90s. If you're 34 years old, you're a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, I still consider myself a child, too, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm a child of the new millennium.
Right. I consider myself a child of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm 30.
And I was mid-90s.
Oh,
so
I think it's
face.
Oh,
so immature.
That's why he's on the show.
That's our show.
Yeah. He did. He did. Drew did offer up a fight. He said, "I will." He said, "I will fight you." And so Doom said, "You will not fight me. You'd be too busy drinking beers I'd offer you." And Drew responded with, "Yes, I'd like a beer."
That was at 4 o'clock this morning whenever I was at my job.
We got a Follow Friday from Mookie's Groove, so thank you, sir. John W. tweeted about the show starting. And then we have Key134 says, "I should be shot. I saw Dragon Age 2 for $27 in game and didn't buy it. Sorry, driving tests come first."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll keep coming down.
Yeah, you gotta have that. He also says, "My question of the week: on a scale of 1 to crack, how addictive is gaming? Thanks for a good. Thanks, have a good show, gang."
Methamphetamine.
Yep. It is up there, boy.
I think you could probably put crack addiction and gaming addiction both on a scale I'd like to call the Charlie Sheen scale.
Dude, winning, winning.
Where the level of addiction is marked by the quality of Charlie Sheen movie and or show. So like Navy SEALs would be at the bottom. And like Major League would be at the top.
Ooh, so, Navy SEALs.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
So
nice since this podcast I just did that. That's awesome. Alright, sorry.
So yeah, I'm gonna say the gaming is probably a Hot Shots Part Due.
Oh yes.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
That's winning.
Depending on the game, though, it might climb up to a Hot Shots.
What about Platoon?
If it's Alpha Protocol, it's Scary Movie 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in that.
I know, and it's scary.
What's scary is that 4 comes out in a couple of weeks. Really?
I mean, 5.
Are you talking 4. Scream?
No, Scary Movie.
Oh, Scream.
Oh, Scream. I'm talking about Scream. Sorry, same thing.
I saw that and I almost fell out of my chair. I'm like, what?
Yep.
There you go.
Righty.
Kamikaze Sheep said, "John WK, N4G Podcast, how'd you enjoy the Front Toward Gamer Founders Marathon, and just how badly should people donate to OSD? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink."
Well,
that's my
boy.
Enjoyed
it thoroughly. absolutely, I enjoyed it thoroughly, and people definitely should go and donate to Operation Supply Drop.
Exactly.
Sure.
Definitely.
We plug it every week. And then Shanghai 6 posted about listening to Gambus ramble in real time and how surreal it was. You got to be here to experience that.
It is a little strange.
Absolutely. Here's a good one, and one that's going to be coming up a lot. GrayF34 says, "Hey guys, pre-E3 question. Who has the most to gain and lose this year of the big three?"
Ooh.
I don't think anybody on this show will disagree with the fact that Microsoft has the most to lose.
And they need to bring something to the table in regards to...
Oh, you're talking
Kinect.
Exclusives.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Even the fact that they're promoting Kinect is fine, but they're not releasing anything for Kinect.
That's it. It's going to be sitting there like we sit there and gather dust. They need to do something sharp.
Yeah.
Damn it. See, that's what I've never understood. I can't stand exclusives. Like, it just pisses me off. I mean, granted, I do own all the consoles, but it's a fanboy thing. Like, the only reason fanboys exist is because of exclusives, and they're trying to justify a purchase. And I just, like, if every freaking game was on every console, we would not have problems like this.
Oh, we would still have them. Come on now, look at the way it's happened this year. Every time a game comes out, how many lens of truth do we see?
God, I just... Yeah, but then they say, well, we got Gears of War. Well, we got Uncharted. And I just want to punch him in the friggin' face.
I think that sort of argument is, in this day and age, is completely bloody redundant because consoles are so cheap. You should have both.
Yeah. And that's what I think Sony has the biggest to gain. If they drop the price down to something reasonable with all the exclusives they have and all the marketing they got going on, they've got the big show.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'll be interested to see if Nintendo does anything with, you know, since the 3DS launch and them talking about a new Mario game, I wonder if that's kind of the end of the Wii, like, development.
I'm waiting on the new Wii.
That might be the death of. So...
Well, it's about time, considering how far behind they are with everybody else, and they've made their money.
So this
would be the time to announce, you know, basically the 360 Wii or the PS3 Wii.
But do you think they kind of shot themselves in the foot? Do you think people are going to get burned unless they come up with something completely innovative? I mean, the amount of people who bought a Wii and, as I said earlier, just sits and gathers dust.
Yeah.
Do you think people are just going to think, you know what? I'm not spending 200 plus quid on that because I've spent my money on that and I don't use it.
Yeah, that's why they need something. They need something new, a new hook.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the 3DS was, and sold like gangbusters.
Yep.
And there's no games for that either. So, goddamn it, the cycle continues.
It's amazing how the world works.
It's amazing how Nintendo were like, let's say these people are idiots. Let's show them that they're idiots.
Well, see here,
and make them pay for it.
What I don't understand is, like, that's the same way the PSP is. It doesn't have any games, and it doesn't sell like gangbusters.
What are you talking about, man? There's, like, four games I want to get that came out this year so far.
There were four games that came out in RPGs. 1 week for another console, okay?
Well, I mean, I the only reason why I play my PSP as much as I do is because I just got one last year. And, you know, I have missed a lot of games. Like, I'm playing Crisis Core. I came out in 2007.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff if you're just now getting one. But if you've had one since the beginning, you've definitely had a drought.
That's true.
I think each year gets a little bit better than the last.
Yeah, but it's going to get worse now.
There's a website I go to called The Magic Box. it's a website that's all about Japanese game development.
That's what you're calling it now in terms since you're married.
I call it RedTube.
that's the folder on his desktop where he stores all his internet porn.
The magic box.
but really, it seems like 50%. Of the Japanese games that are being made right now are actually PSP titles. Like, half the industry.
Gambus, we don't live in Japan.
No, but the Japanese supply a good percentage of video games in the world.
How many of those make it over here, though?
A lot.
There's a decent amount. I mean, NIS seems like they're releasing a game every week.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, if you combined the games being released by Xseed and the games being released by Atlas, I mean, if you put those two up, yeah, there's a game coming out about every couple weeks that I want to get for PSP. I mean, for the past couple months.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, you know, I mean, these guys aren't RPG guys like we are.
I mean, you got the third birthday.
I still want to play that.
Yeah, I have the third birthday. That's the first PSP game I bought in a year.
And then you got the Monster Hunter clones, like Lord of Arcana and the one called God Killer Bust or something that just came out.
God Eater Bust.
Yeah, God Eater Bust. Yeah, thank you. Stuff like that. And then I think this week a game comes out that I've been really looking at is the new Legend of Heroes game, which I've watched some YouTube footage of, and it looks amazing, visually spectacular. But Yeah, there's a lot of PSP games. I mean, if you're into role-playing games, it pretty much is the role-playing gaming system right now.
Alrighty. Shot Caller says, still waiting of the U.S. Army to build their own Metal Gear Rex. That would be so sweet.
Mm. Cool.
That'd be scary, too.
Oh, yeah, it'd be scary.
Yeah.
I think we lost the Wombat's Ninja came back.
Ninja got him.
Oh, poor Ninja. Grand F 34 also says, I'm here playing Dragon Age 2 right now and enjoying every minute of it. 28 hours in, and I don't think I'm halfway through.
You're not.
You're not, trust me.
Have you been to the Deep Roads yet?
Yeah.
The long-ass games.
That's technically not even the middle.
Not even halfway, nope.
Yeah.
Fixer says, dug out the old Dreamcast yesterday, and I miss a lot of those games. Can't wait for the Code Veronica remake. I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah. I want to play Code Veronica. I mean, Resident Evil 4 is nice and all, but I want my zombies back.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to play both of those games, and the fact that they're downloadable so you don't have to buy both of them if you don't want is very awesome.
Yeah, because I've owned three different versions of Resident Evil 4.
You know, I like this new trend. It's actually a game I forgot to mention in my fondling was the Tomb Raider trilogy collection.
Anthology, yeah.
For the PS3. That is incredible. I didn't think it was that big a deal because they were on 360, but the 360 versions were just, you know, higher res versions of the PS2. And when you see them now completely redone, I mean, I love this new trend of bringing the old games back. I do. It gives you a chance to play a lot of old stuff that you might have missed.
Mm-hmm. Is that Tomb Raider game already out?
Yeah, it came out last week.
Oh, really? Damn, that was quick.
Yeah, and it's phenomenal.
Has the Splinter Cell one come out?
What's that?
Has the Splinter Cell one come out yet?
Yeah, it's out in Europe.
It's out in Europe. I think we're getting it next month or this month.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. So
awesome. I'm a big
sweet.
Well, just wait for the Metal Gear one.
Dude, the Metal Gear one, day one.
What? What?
There's been rumors of that forever, that and the Mortal Kombat.
I was
going to
say, I'm like, wait, what?
I don't know. Kojima would be like, no, nobody touches my game.
Except for Dennis Dyack.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
Oh, snap.
They did a good job, though, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It turned out to be Metal Gear Matrix, though.
It did.
There were so many action sequences that were slow-mo and him diving, like, away from missiles. I'm like, really?
Yeah, but it was still good.
It was good, yeah.
Toy81 says, today is my 18th birthday, and I was wondering if you had any tips for new video games on PS3. The only new game I have is Mass Effect 2.
Whoa. Well, Dragon Age 2, I would still suggest it.
Killzone.
Killzone 3, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Killzone is a phenomenal game.
Wow, after that, what else? Sly Cooper Collection, maybe?
Sly Cooper Collection, definitely.
I have to get back into that.
Yeah. That's sitting in my pile of shame right now.
I forgot to mention, Ken, I know you reviewed it. The Blob 2 is actually really fun.
Dude, that game is fun as hell.
Yeah. Cool. But what sucks? The fucking time limit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I thought we were going to say it was on the Wii.
It is.
Wait, is that on all consoles?
Yeah, it's all.
On all consoles.
Yep. Oh, shit.
Yeah. But it's got move support.
It's got move support, and it looks great in HD.
Huh.
So, yeah, definitely De Blob 2. If you're going to get it on the PS3. That's the best version.
Yeah.
Fixer says, the 3DS is awesome, but it needs better games. Can't wait for Zelda, Mario Kart, and Mario, even though they are remakes. Did you see the screenshots of Zelda?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It looks so good.
It looks like a high-res version of a
Ocarina,
64
right?
game.
Yeah, it's Ocarina.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Ocarina. I beat that game like 5 times. It's just... And that water temple pisses me off.
Well, they fixed the water temple with apparently now you can select 4 things instead of just 3.
Oh, Jesus. That's a game changer.
I'm excited for it. You shut up. And Fixer also says, oh, and Crysis 2 is a buggy piece of shit.
Oh, nice. I thought you guys said it was good.
It's a great game. I love the game. I do feel for him because what happened was is he downloaded the new patch. And basically it like deleted all of his single player progress.
Oh, wait, Jesus.
What? Yeah. So I don't blame him for being pretty pissed about it.
God damn.
Yeah, I'd be livid.
That is not a short game either.
No, it's not.
That's not a 5-hour trip through Cloudblobs.
No. That's a long game, and especially if you're trying to collect everything, like all the souvenirs and the car keys and stuff. Oh, my God.
I'd even touch those.
Yeah, I'd be pissed. Tyrant94 says, "Hey, N4G dudes, anyone as bored as hell with Crysis 2 as I am? Story."
All the hating on Crysis.
I know.
No, I'm not getting this damn game.
Dude, story is so blah so far.
Yeah.
I mean, the story's decent. It's not... Yeah. It's not like going to blow your mind or anything, but I don't know. I love the game. So, I don't know. No, I didn't get bored with it. I actually beat it in like 2 sittings, which is ridiculous considering how long it is.
Yeah.
So, but no, I love the game. Sadoom says, "I take back my comment calling Frustrated Fury a ball-sucking Sony fanboy." The kid,
well, thank you.
The kid is all right. Did you guys take advantage of the XBLA sale? I bought so much crap. Man, Comic Jumper is hard as balls. Loving AC Brotherhood so far. Love the weapons and executions. Keep it up. The only thing that I didn't already own was Unbound Saga.
Is that sale still going on, or is it just
Unbound Saga? It's on sale. Yeah, I downloaded it while we were talking.
Yeah, I think it's through the entire month of April, isn't it?
What all they got on sale?
Dude, it's a ton of crap. If you go to Xbox.com and go to the Marketplace, there's a tab for it. It's like 3 pages of stuff.
Dude, if Super Meat Boy is cheaper than what I paid for, I'm going to be pissed.
No, actually, I don't think it's in the sale.
I think that's still 15.
They've got, like, Defense Grid. They've got Dead Money DLC.
Isn't Costume Quest on there?
Costume Quest has gone down to 600.
Oh, sure.
Wow, 800 from game. 1200, I think.
Yeah, like a lot of these games are like 50% off.
Oh.
So, it's ridiculous, man. There's so much crap on sale. It's such a good deal. GrayF34 says, "From the last tweet, I just beat Dragon Age 2, but I'm still wanting more."
You'll get it.
He beat it in 28 hours, apparently.
Bullshit.
Being called out right now.
Do your listeners like lying a lot? Because that's bullshit.
Oh, it's probably possible if you skip everything.
If you put it on easy, don't watch a single cutscene, mash A through that entire game, maybe.
I don't know. That's on my pile of shame, too, because I have not had time to play it with all the other crap I've been playing.
Well, that's like hearing somebody go through Final Fantasy 13 in 28 hours and be like,
dude, I couldn't make it 2 hours through that game.
You don't even get through the tutorial in 28 hours.
I got to the...
To be honest, I don't know. I just have to throw the bullshit flag up.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I'm 4 hours into it, so I have not touched it.
Well, that's like hearing people... Actually, didn't you say last week that it took you like 3 hours to go through Homefront?
Yeah, about 3 hours.
Like 3 hours, really? I was listening, I was in a store somewhere, I'm like, what? Really? What difficulty do you play through typically?
Usually on normal. I just usually stick to normal.
No.
No,
it was a short game. It was a short guy.
It was extremely short. My Raptor time, and I played online, my Raptor time said 3 hours, which I know is not accurate, but I figure if I cancel out the multiplayer, it was probably about 3 hours. So, and I was, and that's what sucked, is like right at the end is when it got good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's over. Never mind. Anyway, well, that's all the tweets I have. Do we have any reviews?
We do not.
None?
No.
Oh, well.
Fail.
Why do you even ask?
The ninja killed Wombat.
Again.
He has not come back.
The official N4G podcast mascot.
Yeah, he is. He has not come back, so it must have been bad.
Well, it's either that or the magic box. I'm not sure which.
The magic box will kill anybody. So, somebody help me out here. Gamus, did you have some questions? Questions?
Yeah,
you had a question.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Just a quick update. Wombat just texted me. He lost his net again. He's out. I will talk to you guys next week.
Right on.
Bye, Wombat.
Take it easy, Wombat.
Dude, he can't hear you.
Can't leave a shout out.
Yeah.
Wish upon a star.
I just said that in case he listened to the episode.
Nobody listens to the episode that's on.
He doesn't listen to the episode when he's on it.
Go ahead, Gambus.
Shanghai.
What's on your mind, brother?
I mean, I just gotta say, congratulations, man. Your podcast is awesome.
Thanks, man.
And that
blew my tits off when I knew. I didn't realize that you were still listening to the show, and I just happened to see a tweet. You're like, "Hey, great show!" I'm like, "What the what?" I had a little backstory. I had Gambus on my show as an interview guest back on my 10th episode, like way back in the day, and then, like episode 30 something, he comes rolling in like, "Oh yeah, I listen to the show." It's like, "What?" Cool. I mean, I've been listening to you guys since I started this game. Like, and I said, I started the whole fake games journalologist nonsense. So, I mean, so I was like, holy shit, all right on, man. So, this is a big honor. This is a long, long stride for me to actually be on the show. And,
dude, know, we're very honored to have you on here.
Oh, definitely, man.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
We're always like blown away when people talk about listening to our show for a very long time. Like I remember when Drew told me he listened to our show for as long as he did. I'm like, dude, you're a trooper.
I started on episode 10.
Yeah, I can't say that I've done that. I haven't done the pilgrimage all the way back through because that would take two lifetimes worth of podcasts. But yeah, I've been listening ever since I started. When I started back at Sarcastic Gamer, I was looking for. I found out what a podcast was. So I just started surfing around iTunes and found you guys on top of a list and started listening. And it's like, yeah, all right, I'm on board.
Yeah, dude, in 8 weeks, we will be doing episode 200.
Holy shit.
I say we get drunk.
Hey.
Drunk right now?
That sounds like a good idea. Let's do that.
It's a little early in the morning for me to be drunk.
I got nothing to do.
So sorry. I don't mean to keep cutting you off, Gambus. Go ahead. What else did you need?
My first question would be for those who are unfamiliar with the Front Towards Gamer podcast. Could you do a little short or long explanation of basically what your podcast is all about and what separates your show from most of the other gaming podcasts out there?
Yeah, here's the elevator pitch. Bottom line is every week we bring on a different random schmuck from the video games community. I mean, Gambus was one. I'm not saying he's a schmuck, I'm just saying, you know how it goes. We're a very incestuous community, and I just go out of my way when I go to these events like PAX. I get business cards, and I hit these folks up for interviews after the event's over, because I know the day of the event, people are losing their minds, running around dealing with fanboys and handing out t-shirts and everything. So it was the most fun. It's the most fun. Like, I go to these events not to play the games, but to interact with the producers and developers, and it's just a fascinating world for me. I love this stuff. So I love talking to these folks. And next week, actually, for the show, we've got our 1 year anniversary podcast coming up, but next week for the show, episode 49, we've got the Behemoth folks coming on our show to talk about Battle Block Theater, which I am I can't wait to talk to them because I have no idea what that game's about.
Nice.
Like, I saw it on the forum. I'm like, I still don't know what this is. It's like, all right, four people beating each other up. Okay. So yeah. We're looking forward to that. But yeah, it was just, talking to different industry folks. We had N Guy Kroll on, Hip Hop Gamer, big shout out to that guy. That guy is freaking awesome. Just a lot of random dudes in the community and different developers. It's a great time. I love it.
Yeah, I actually ran into Hip Hop Gamer at E3 last year, and I told him, I was like, nice interview on Front Towards Gamer, and he was like, oh, okay.
See, the problem with that guy is he does that, like, the nice and counterbalance bad thing about that guy is no matter, you don't know if he really remembers you, but every time he sees you, he's like, oh yeah, man, how you doing? He comes running up, puts the belt on you, he's just like, how you doing, what's going on? And you're just like, does he really remember me? Is he just do this with everybody? It's like, because he does. He's just the nicest guy. Every time I see that guy, big smile, oh, how you doing, dog? What the hell's going on? It's like, all right, I'll play along.
He had a giant entourage at PAX.
I guess, oh, he always does.
From his new show that he's doing. I saw him twice while I was there.
Yeah, he always rolls deep, boy. But, yeah, all right, sorry. I keep losing the thread there. Go ahead.
Another thing about your website and your podcast, it seems to have a very military look. Could you explain, like, the origin of the aesthetic of your website?
Well, once upon a time, I was in the Army. I was an actual hard-charging airborne ranger with the 82nd Airborne, 13 months in Iraq with the 2nd Infantry Division, so I've done my time. Got all my badges and got out back in 2006, five now. But it was just something I know a lot about, and it seemed to go for a theme. And I don't know what made me think of it when I left Sarcastic Gamer to go that direction, but you need, when you start a site, you know, you're just one of a billion jerk-off sites that are out there, and you got to come up with something to differentiate yourself from everybody else. And, you know, not a lot of there are a couple other military gamer sites like Off-Duty Gamers and things like that, but there aren't a lot of those out there. And then that ties into the charity work, which I don't know. We have a charity as well called Operation Supply Drop, where our big thing is to build video game care packages for troops deployed overseas. And that, if you've ever been deployed overseas, is a goddamn godsend. Anything to take your mind off sitting around just waiting for your tour to be up so you can rotate back home.
Yeah.
It is a godsend. And we just sent out our third care package this weekend. Codename Claptrap just went to Baghdad this weekend, so...
Awesome.
We're putting up pictures of that. A bunch of PC guys in Baghdad, apparently. I sent them all the Blizzard treasure chests, the Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo.
Nice.
So that went out. Mm. It was the first time we ever got that. I was like, all right.
Do you find that, I know a lot of the work you, a lot of the stuff that you get and send out in those care packages are through the donations you get on the site. We also get stuff come through from suppliers and developers. Are they, publishers and developers, are they normally quite positive when you approach them for donations?
Yeah, generally. The nice thing is we are actually a non-profit organization. We are recognized by the IRS as a charity. So what that means for the bigwigs is that is a nice tax write-off, should they Yeah, so if they decide that they, you know, and they don't really give us enough to really merit a big tax write-off for a company that size. I mean, that would be like five figures or something crazy like that. For them, a lot of these bigger organizations have outreach programs designed specifically for, you know, charity outreach. So for them to, like, EA has EA, I can't remember what the hell it is, but yeah, they'll just, you know, you just send them an email and you got to keep after them like most PR folks, you know. ZT, I'm sure you're used to it. You got to harass folks, you know, you do the, all right, I'll write you once a week and then I'll write you once a day and then I'll write you once every hour until you write me back, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to be persistent and patient.
I've done that before.
Can't yell at them, have to just sit there with a smile on your face and take what you get. And oh, we're on the list. Okay, got it. But I get to, the charity opens a lot of doors that would otherwise be locked that I would not have access to. So now I have all these. So on top of having the enthusiast site, we have the charity site and it all kind of ties together and, you know, it works great. It's a great synergy between the two sites.
Excellent. I guess my final question will be, what was the first system you ever owned, and when did you basically decide that you were a gamer?
First system was an Atari 2600.
Oh,
sweet.
I remember the game, it was called Samus? Not the one you're thinking of, but it was this weird, like, Castle Wolfenstein, very weird ASCII looking piece of shit. But that was where it all started. And when did I know I was a gamer? Huh. I remember Time Pilot on the Atari. I remember it just different flashes of my life where it's been there. And it's literally, you could have a stop frame camera through my life, and somewhere there, off frame or in frame, there will be a console very close by. And it's just always been a part of my life. It's I ended up raising myself a lot as a kid, so which brings me to be as independent as I am today. But a lot of my babysitting was done through video games. So I was sorry, Mom. But on the weekends she would work. On the weekends she would work. So she'd throw me and my brother 20. We'd roll down to the local rental store, get some grub out of the grocery store, grab some games, and hop back home. And that would be, you know, 18 hours of our weekend would be devoted to melting our brains in front of a screen of some kind. So there you go. That has been. Where
All awesome. Right. Well, there you go.
Definitely. I have the utmost respect for you, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You do a lot of good stuff, and I mad props to you, man.
I certainly appreciate it. You know, you just kind of bang your head against this wall, and you don't think anybody's paying attention. You know, I'm sure you guys know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, you just, like just yesterday, again for the 1 year, I got a friend's request on PS3 when I logged into Killzone that had been sitting there for like a couple weeks, because I've been doing 360 primarily lately. And I was just like, hey, man, love what you do. Keep doing it. It's like, oh, thanks. Shit, you know, it's amazing. Those little things that just like bolster you for doing this. Because every once in a while, you're just like, you know how much easier it would be if I just stopped.
Oh, God, yes.
I'd actually get to play. Like, I really, really want to try out Rift right now. But I can't. There's just too much shit going on. And a game like that, just as a soul, like, I am an ex-WoW addict. And, goddamn, like, a game like that will just eat your life. So I can't do it. And I'm too busy with the two sites to really screw around with something like that. So, yeah, love what I do, love what we're doing, and it's great. And I wouldn't be here right now without it, so.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been an awesome show. Yes,
definitely.
I certainly appreciate it, gentlemen. This is an honor. I'm glad I finally made it on the show.
I'm on 3 hours sleep. That's fucking impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I can almost hear the hate coming off from my wife's pacing upstairs. I can't wait to go up here because she's put up with the 24-hour thing, and she just came down a little while ago and gave me this look like, really? You're still going? Really?
What's
wrong with you? We're gonna have words, mister, when this is over. I hope you know that. So,
all right. Well, we will get you out of here. If anybody has anything else?
That'll be it.
No shout-outs?
Oh.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a sec. Hold on. Let me, if y'all don't mind, I got a couple things I got to plug real quick here.
Go right ahead.
cool for all.
Hey, you know, let me get out this list and rolling the big scroll. Anyway, hey, thanks for, I don't know anybody from my site's listening to this or not, but thanks everybody who came out. Yesterday was our 1 year anniversary for the site. We called it Founders Day. And we had over 30 people show up from different sites. We had SFX360 representing, N4G, you guys were all there almost. Gamertag Radio showed up. Games Radar guys showed up. It was great. A hell of a turnout. We had a live event in Springfield, Illinois as well. And that looks like we got some good donations for Operation Supply Drop from that too. So thanks for everybody doing that. One big shout out to Instant Karma, who's currently going the extra mile. He's doing 36 hours over in Ireland as opposed to 24 because he's apparently insane and has no life and a cast iron constitution because I don't know how he could do that. For the charity, it's been a crazy week for the charity because not only did we push out a third care package, but we announced we got two new corporate sponsors. Charisma Plus 2 is the name of the it's a booth babe modeling agency, and they have decided to take us under their wing, and they are throwing a gala event in Dallas for us to raise money for Operation Supply Drop. And I imagine as a bunch of booth babes, they could probably squeeze a couple bucks out of some dudes. Especially, so I have a feeling this is going to be pretty goddamn big. Meanwhile, also this week, the folks from GameCrush.com, the social networking site with where guys meet up with girls to play games, with they threw their hat in the ring as well. So they are we're sending little mini care packages along with our care package to let military troops downrange know that, hey, if you need somebody to talk to, we've got a special forum. You can talk to us here. You can hook up with game girls and things like that. So let's see. I think that's it. Sorry, I just had to get that out there.
Essentially, you're a pimp.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Pimp Panda Strong.
Alrighty. Well, I am also getting the dirty look, so I have to end this show as well.
Oh, I'm getting the dirty look from the cats because they're the only ones here.
Oh, okay. Well, you're good to go then. Well, yeah. I guess that would be time to wrap it up again. Thanks for being on the show. Absolutely. Everybody, thanks for listening. And as always, Mr. Gamus Khan, if you would be kind enough to take us out.
All right. And a very special bagok goes to the Front Tours Gamer Podcast.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
It's me, Mario!
Zero Dollar!
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Gather time!
Greetings, programs! I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat!
I always move being angry.
Killer Wolverine! Play games, not consoles! No fanboys allowed!
And then I killed Dragon 8.0.
Killed the Dragon.